thousand on Tuesday, just slightly below that. And, you know, if we can continue to keep that moving north, that potentially would help delay diesel burn in the north. Short of that, then they'll have to start that burn early. There's also oh, sure.
Great. I heard somebody raise a question there. Go ahead.
Trey, it's Bob Lynn. I got a question for you. That the agreement that we had on that, that's still in place, and we're still trying to beat that, put that 4,000 to the north?
That, yes, sir. That's the intent right now. And that kind of leads into my next comment, that determination of the daily dispatch in quantities from SEPA assets and the directional flows over the STI, there's some challenges trying to navigate that with regard to who makes that determination. And we've been trying to...
Trey, can you just hang on one second? I think Lisa has a question based on some of the last information, so just to let her ask that question.
Sure.
I'm trying to decide when the appropriate time is to get this information. I guess, Mr. Chair, to a question to Andy, if this is possible.
Yes, go ahead.
What is it that you... Do you know what you need or what you would prefer to get in order to have comfort that you're going to make it through the end of February?
Yes, thank you.
Do you know what you need in terms of...
Yes, we've made a very fair accounting here of what we have available for generation. And we try to manage that. And so the addition of generation from SWAN makes that manageable. Our concern we reached close to 31 or broke 31 megawatts of peak last Tuesday morning, and that put us in a spin, which forced our request for some SWAN energy. So we're comfortable at peaks below 28. Above 28, we need SWAN for comfort. We know that we're looking at two cold days here, Saturday and Sunday. The lows are supposed to get into the teens, and we figure with that our peaks will probably approach 31, 32, and so we needed the 4 megawatts from SWAN to cushion our generation. It's not asking for much for rolling reserve at that level. We realize that rolling reserves are pretty much a luxury at this point.
Okay.
I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Andy. Trey, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Just to let you know, Andy, I just checked the weather like 2 minutes before you guys got here, and it looks like now they're forecasting for a low, at least on AccuWeather, of 26 here in Ketchikan on Sunday. So things are going up a little bit.
As we approach.
Keep it going. You know, just maybe that's some good news.
It is good news.
We won't have to perhaps cover that. So. On the topic I started to delve into a little bit there, so far we've been trying to work together to coordinate that. SEPA would certainly like to send more power out of SWAN, essentially the power that's above 280 to the north. And the earlier we do that, the less potential for diesel exposure they have. And for the record, for folks that are listening right now, to date, the North hasn't been required to burn any diesel due to reservoir levels. I believe they've burned 2 days, and that was to cover peaks, and that's a completely different topic. So we're still trying very hard to manage what resources that we have in cooperation with all the parties in order to minimize diesel burn. So that's one of the challenges for us on trying to do that. And I hope out of this discussion today, maybe there's some opportunity to do that. So those are the main topics I had to go through. And then I've got some options potentially for board consideration on some ways that we might transition through the next couple of weeks before we get to the board meeting, so we can sit down and have a more extended discussion on how things look and the most strategic way to go about that. If we've got to burn some diesel, how can we do that most efficiently and at the same time make sure folks are comfortable with the reserves. Obviously, with that said, kind of bouncing back just for a second to the draft limits, we still, we keep reserves in there for a reason, and this is a pretty unique year. So it might be a good time to consider the value of that water that's in the lake and how best to use it. I think we can get some value out of that water. And we could lower the risk a little bit as that certainly approaches the turn to do that. So
I don't need it. I can figure it out this week.
Somebody is speaking over there. If you could mute your phone, turn your dial on, please.
I'll see it now. Okay. I think that's
maybe the radio station in Rango. Could you please mute your phone? Thank you. Sorry, Trey, go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So if nobody has any questions to this point, I'll jump in here and discuss a couple of potential options for board consideration.
Okay, Trey, we'll just open it up for questions first. Lisa?
Oh, yeah.
So I have a question. If the available power in Swan is shipped north, does that leave anything available for Ketchikan if they run into an emergency situation?
Yes. So the agreement that we had previously was we took and, well, back at, going back to when the ops plan was approved, we increased the draft limit for Swan Lake from 275 to 280.
272.
Oh, it was 272 to 280. Excuse me, Ed. Thank you for correcting me. So essentially that increased the buffer, I'll say, dedicated to KPU. And then when we had this discussion about shifting 6,000 megawatt hours of energy back to the north, that was couched as from the 280 up to the 295, that those inflows would be shifted to the north, or perhaps captured in one of the reservoirs and conserved for use in the north.
So a follow-up, Mr. Chairman?
Yep, go ahead.
So will there be power available if the bottom level of Swan is kept at 280, if those 6,000 hours are shipped north?
So that's a great question, Lisa, It segues nicely into one of the considerations that I was going to present to the board. And so currently, the limits that the board has set, those are the limits. So I think in order to make sure that all parties have maximum flexibility to get through to a couple more weeks to our next board meeting, one of my recommendations would be to lower both of the draft limits by 5 feet. And then, so if we ship power to the north, and if KPU needs some power out of Swan, we would be able to then draft from 280 down to 275. Otherwise, I'll have to call another special board meeting and say, hey, we need this water, they're in a pinch, and I need a a formal motion by the board to do that.
This is Carl Winborn. Can I get in on the conversation?
Absolutely. Please go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, a couple of comments I just want to make. When we made the request earlier this week to get the 6.5 megawatts out of Swan, we had real concerns whether we were going to be able to meet our load requirements with just using our hydros and our diesel generation. And we've already talked about permit limits and reliability of the diesels. And as of today, those are still two continuing concerns. We've made a good faith effort, realizing that Tai was over-dispatched, to try to get 6 gigawatts of energy back to the northern communities. But our ability to do that is solely dependent upon the water that's available. And as Trey has indicated, this has been a very unusual season. When the power was sold to Ketchikan in the summer months, the water was available. We're being asked to try to pay it back when the water isn't available, or minimally available. Nevertheless, we are trying to make a good faith effort to do that, as long as we don't put our ratepayers at risk in terms of having sufficient energy to meet loads. Relative to the ops plan that was adopted in December in Petersburg, I made it very clear at the time that I wanted the limit raised to 280 because I didn't feel that we could rely on the historic modeling, because I recognized that we were in a very unusual set of circumstances, and that 280 and below, I wanted that water reserved for Ketchikan in case we had problems with our diesels. And I specifically made that point. Now, we've been trying to ship power to the northern communities, and we're willing to continue making that good faith effort as long as we're not putting our ratepayers at risk. And that's the bottom line for me, that, you know, we are more than willing to try to help out Petersburg and Wrangell if we have the water available. But once you get to 280, given the age of my diesels, the number of failures we've already had during this extended diesel run, I'm not willing to take the draft limit lower than that and send water north. And that's my position.
So, Mr. Chair, this is Trey. If I could just clarify to Carl's comments there, I wasn't recommending to lower the draft limit to allow us to ship water below the 280 level to the north. As it reads right now, if you needed water below 280, I'd have to call a special board meeting, because that's my current limit. The only reason I was saying that was the only reason I was saying to lower that. Just wanted to make a clarification.
You're saying the only reason you were saying to lower it is because if Ketchikan had an emergency that you needed to lower it to 275 to help out down on the south end. Is that what you were getting at?
Correct. And so, larger picture, I would like to continue to send water and energy out of Swan to the north, only down to the 280 mark. And then if we lowered the limit to 275, if for some reason you guys need it, you have a diesel issue or something like that, then we just ship it to you guys.
And Mr. Chair, that's the call again.
Yep.
When we had our discussion on Tuesday when we made our projections and put in the request for the 6.5. We said we wanted 4 for our needs, 2.5 to continue to be shipped to Petersburg and Wrangell, and we wanted to reevaluate where we are after the weekend, and we were prepared to have further discussions then. I haven't reviewed the forecast, but I don't understand why we need to make the decision now relative to changing the limits. You know, if temperatures are moderating, let's see where we are at the beginning of next week, continue the dispatch as we've been doing. And I'm going to put it out here, and this may, Joel, you can rule me out of order or not, but you know, we're all in this set of circumstances because Tyee was over-dispatched. And if those decisions were made on 20 years of modeling and assumptions were going to be made that the reservoirs were going to be refilled, so be it. But the decisions were made, weather didn't cooperate, and everybody is short now. You know, from where I sit, I understand Petersburg and Wrangell's plight in all this. You don't want to be running diesels. There's a cost to your community to do that. Ketchikan's been trying to send energy north to keep you out of that. Weather hasn't cooperated from our perspective. But rather than fool around with trying to dispatch what little water we have, if the concern of the northern communities is the cost of running diesel, and that's what's driving this discussion, then I don't understand why we're not just saying, why can't we make the northern communities whole through the assets that SEPA has? So, and that's
Carl, this is Joel. So I think this is an important point that you're bringing up. I think that it's probably, unless Trey or Mr. Chair, I mean, if you think this is worth a discussion right now, it may be better to wait to discuss the actual, you know, who's going to be responsible to cover these costs for, shifting the power back and forth and when that happened last year and who's responsible, et cetera. So I understand your point. I don't mean to get you off track, but maybe better for another day. So,
Joel, that's fine.
Yes.
But my position on this is lowering the reservoir levels below the board-approved op plan definitely has a linkage to what I just raised. So, me personally,
yes.
If I'm asked to vote on lowering the limits today without having the discussion of who's financially responsible for the plight we're all in, I'm going to vote no.
Okay. Lisa, I had her hand up here. She's the only one I can see. Carl, we'll let her have a say here.
So I am of the opinion that we are one team, one fight in this electric system that we're in. And I can't speak for Petersburg, but from Wrangell's perspective, we have no interest in putting Ketchikan in a situation where you are feeling vulnerable that you are not going to be able to provide power to your ratepayers. I'm not interested in that at all. And I think, although nobody wants to go on diesel, obviously, we don't have any issue in Wrangell of going on diesel. But as Mr. Amelon so aptly said, water was over-dispatched from Tyee. And we are being, we feel like, and I mentioned this to Trey when I was in Juneau earlier this week, I feel like the northern communities are having to play chicken with SEPA on this issue. We're getting veiled suggestions about how we should be going on diesel. It'd be a good idea if you would consider going on diesel, But when we ask for a specific request to go on diesel and what the parameters of that diesel run will be, and if there's going to be a true-up, the answer to that is no. And that's not okay. We're being asked, we're going to have to go on diesels. I am not comfortable taking the lake levels down below the operating, the board-approved limits either. I think it puts everybody at too much risk, in my opinion. I mean, we are getting ready to go into, as I understand it, what is the driest time of the year prior to inflows from snowmelt coming up. What if we don't get any appreciable water in the next couple of months and we've drawn the lakes down below the board-approved limit right now? Then all of us have nothing to back up on. And so I guess I'm in agreeance with Mr. Amelon on this completely. Please let us know if we're going to have the ability to get trued up for this, and we will go on diesels in Wrangell immediately. And we'd like to the feathered approach, as was